Good morning, everybody. If you could, if you brought your Bibles with you, please open them to Matthew 28. So a couple weeks ago when I was up here before, I discussed what the church needed from me. We talked about the commandment that Jesus left his disciples to love one another as he has loved the church. We discussed some of the obstacles that get in our way and things that we can do to help improve that. And we touched on the Great Commission that Matthew 28, where he gave us a command to make disciples of all the nations. This week I wanted to expand on what we talked about last time, so taking it kind of like a Google Earth type thing, right? So we focused in on what the church needs from me. I want to expand out what the world needs from me and what the church, or what the world needs from the church. So, looking again at Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, and Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." I just want to stop there for a second and focus on that word authority. I found a short little video by Francis Chan that I wanted to play to kind of talk about that authority a little bit.
Play this game called Simon Says. Right? Most of us have played that, unless you're really young, because there's no app for it. Simon Says is, Simon Says, pat your head, Simon said it. It was a very simple game, but it's so weird how in the church, Jesus Says is a totally different game. If Jesus says something, you don't have to do it, you just have to memorize it. You study it, you memorize. You guys, it doesn't make any sense. A lot of the things we do, when he tells us to go out and make disciples, and how many people in our churches are actually making disciples? They memorized it. When I tell my daughter, hey, Rach, go clean your room, she doesn't come back to me 2 hours later and go, "I memorized what you said." You said, "Rach, go clean your room." I can say it in Greek. My friends are going to come over and we're going to have a study on what it would look like if I cleaned my room. She knows better than that. And so why do we think we're going to come before the judge one day and quote everything that he said? Talk about how much we know. It's just this black and white stuff. If I just started with Scripture, I'd go, here's what I would do. I'd start making disciples.
Close it down, and we're going to get another video.
Hello, I came with something new.
Alright, so Jesus, throughout his time on the earth, spoke several times about his authority. In Matthew 11:27, it says that all things have been handed over to me by my Father. John 3:35 says the Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. John 13:3 says Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going back to God. And I love John 17:2, which says this is where He was praying to the Father. He says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You, since You have given Him all authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to whom You have given Him." So not only is He saying that I have all authority, I mean, He's saying that the Father has given us to Him. We are His. Jesus is Lord over all. we don't get to choose His lordship. But when we surrender ourselves to follow Him, we give up that right to decide what we are called to do. You know, us parents can relate to this when we tell our children to do something, we expect that to be done. Kind of like the video he was joking about his daughter Rachel. When we tell our children to do something, we don't want them to just go ahead and hear it. We want them to act on it. And it's the same thing. When Jesus, as our Lord, gives us a command, He expects us to act on that. You know, going back to Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and behold, that I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, recently I've really been thinking that I want my life to count. You know, I want my life to count for myself, for my wife, for my kids. I want my life to count for everybody here at Fairhaven. But I want my life to count for the world also. You know, we are called to love our neighbors as Christ loved the church. I far too often am a terrible neighbor. I keep my faith and what's important to me wrapped up inside of me. And then we're called to make disciples of all nations. And I'm oftentimes too afraid to share the gospel with family and close friends. Like, I might not be wasting my life, but I'm definitely not living up to the potential that I'm called to. Far too often in our culture, you know, we believe this command is optional. That to go and make disciples is for the super Christian. It's not for everybody. It's for the super Christian. Those who really, really get it, they go make disciples. It's okay if we don't. But the greatest need for the church today is for men and women of God to make men and women of God. You know, going back to Jesus' first encounter with His disciples, when He came to Peter and Andrew in Matthew 4, you know, He said 8 words to them. He said, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." That was the very beginning of His public ministry. The first thing He said to these men, "Follow Me, and I'll teach you to make disciples." And you bookend it back to the last thing He said to those same disciples, "Go make disciples." I mean, it's serious stuff. Like, that was the first and the last thing He said to them. Everything in the middle was instruction. I want to introduce a definition of the word disciple. Disciple, I'm not going to get into semantics. Disciple, Christian, follower of Jesus, all the same thing. But for the sake of this, of the rest of our time together, I wanted to go through a definition that I have. And this actually came from the president of the International Mission Board, David Platt, that a disciple is someone who has turned from their sin and trusted in Jesus as their Savior. They have died to themselves and surrendered their lives to Him as Lord. Christ now lives in them, transforming everything about them from the inside out. So working off that definition, you know, as soon as that happens, as soon as you surrender to Him, you become a follower. What has He commanded His followers to do? Go make disciples. Go be fishers of men. You know, everything else in the Bible is just instruction on how and how we're supposed to live life and how we should complete that. Okay, we're going to go back to Matthew 28. Now, in there's a command. I'm going to show off my 8th grade English skills here. There's a command in there: make disciples. That's the verb. But there are participles in there, and those participles are go, baptize, and teach. And that's going to give us a good basis on how to go about making disciples. You know, so go out, share the gospel. You know, baptizing is the public showing of our identification with Christ. Teaching, you know, not letting the word stop with us, but becoming reproducers of those teachings that we receive. Jesus wasn't telling the 11 men that He spent His life with to just go pair up in small groups and discuss Him amongst each other. And He sent them down from the mountain and commanded them to reach those who have not heard of Jesus. You know, to go out and share the death and salvation of Jesus. You know, I mean, are we actively going out and sharing the gospel with people? I can't say I know. I'm not. We have been uniquely placed where we are right now. It's not by accident that we are here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's not by accident that we come on Sundays to Fairhaven Mennonite Church. It's not by accident that we are where we are. There's a plan for us. We are placed amongst people who share the same kind of struggles that we have, the same kind of strife that we have. But there's a lot of these people that we share so many commonalities with that don't know Jesus. And we're here to help minister that to them. John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Now, I know that God loves me. But that scripture doesn't say so. God so loved Matt Cummins that He gave His only. He says, so God so loved the world. His love does not stop with me, and I shouldn't allow it to stop with me. It's spread throughout the entire world. The International Mission Board will send out missionaries to the unreached places of the world. And then when somebody is led to Christ, what they have that person do is just make a list of all the people that they know that don't know Christ. And then they tell them, circle 5 names on there of people who are least likely to harm or kill you, and start spreading the gospel to the people immediately. These are brand new Christians. They came to Christ, now go spread the word. You know, they're living in places that, you know, sharing the gospel, loving Jesus, can cost them their family, their friends, their lives. We don't often have that kind of problem where we are. You know, I think my biggest fear is when sharing the gospel is being challenged and being made to look silly because I didn't have an answer for a question. Or for someone to sit and think that the message that I'm portraying is arrogant or unaccepting or hateful. And I mean, in reality, our message is a little bit arrogant and hateful. We're telling people that if you don't believe what I believe, then you are going to hell. You know, that can be awful arrogant and awful hateful. Unless it's true. You know, and that's what's at stake. I mean, we're talking about salvation of the world here. I mean, that's what is at stake. And it's not enough for us to be saved. We should be trying to bring as many people with us as possible. You know, Matthew 13 says that the angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into a fiery furnace. In this place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mark 9 says that where the worm does not die and fire is not quenched. Revelation talks about how he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. But their smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. That is, it's not saying that hell is like, okay, well, there's redemption in hell. No, it's like, that's it. They're there. They're there forever. There's no rest. We need to be showing people what it looks like to live for Christ. So we need to go. We need to go share the word. And then we also need to show them what it actually looks like. Because we can tell people all we want. We can share the gospel. But if we're not living it on a day-to-day basis, if we're not practicing what we're preaching, then we're going to lose all credibility that we've gained. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is 1 Corinthians 9:24. And it says, Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives a prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So we do not run aimlessly. We do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body to keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I mean, Paul is talking about living with a purpose. And that purpose is Christ. You know, disciple making is walking through life with one another. You know, sharing your world with someone, leading them to Christ. And if you led them to Christ, you wouldn't just leave them alone. It's not like, okay, you come to Christ, great. Now go figure it out. No, you bring them with you. You share with them. You live life with them. You read the Bible with them. You train them. You know, new believers need a lot of guidance because you can easily be misled. But here's like where it gets fun, though, because as you are doing that, as you are sharing your life with a new believer, as you are sharing life even with a non-believer, when you're exercising your faith, God has assigned disciple-making not just for the good of others, but for your growth in Christ as well. When we live day by day with these new believers, sharing what we know, we become more and more satisfied in Christ. And we're growing right there with those new believers. So we share the word. We share the word by intentionally sharing the gospel and how Jesus saved our lives. You know, we know. We show the world by living what we are sharing, and we are teaching by inviting new believers to share in our lives and showing them how to become a disciple of Christ. So here I have a little share, show, and teach. But that's not it of the Great Commission. There's an area in there that tells us to go make disciples of all the nations. So it's not enough that we just share with as many people around us as possible. You know, obeying the word does not mean to serving our geographic neighbors, but the world. It's not a general commandment. It's a very specific commandment to make disciples of every people group. Currently, right now, there are over 11,000 people groups in the world. About 6,000 of them are still unreached. Now, this doesn't mean that all of us need to become missionaries and leave our lives here and go out. We're not all called to do that. If you have passion for the people who are unreached, it does not mean that you're meant to be a missionary. It means that you're a follower of Christ. Like, we should all have that deep passion for the unreached places of the world. You know, there's a view out there that believes that if someone has never had the opportunity to hear the gospel, that they'll be saved and go to heaven because they didn't have the opportunity. And if that's the case, then what's the worst thing that we can do to that person? Share the gospel with them, because they were a slam dunk getting into heaven. Now there's some question because they've been introduced now. You know, thanks a lot, Christians. And if God's purpose was for us to know Him only, then He would have taken us home already. You know, we're not meant to just know Him. That's not what He intended for us. His desire is for the world to know us. And how are they going to know us if we don't go and we don't share the gospel with other people? So what does this mean as disciples? You know, like, we can't just go and we can't reach every people group. There are limitations to what we can do, but what we can be doing every day is praying for the spread of the gospel amongst all people groups. You know, we can get involved in organizations like the Joshua Project or Operation World or the International Mission Board. You know, there are great resources there to help to give to these organizations, to pray for certain country groups, or if there's a need, you might be able to find a need that you can do here for these unreached people. And finally, what we can do for them is we need to be open to what the Lord is calling us. I said that not all of us are meant to be missionaries. But that doesn't necessarily mean that not all of us are going to be not called to be missionaries. Some of us, we need to be obedient to what Christ is telling us. Some of us are going to be called to go to those unreached people groups. And it might be a short term, a week, 2 weeks. It could be a medium term, a month. It could be long term, but we have to be obedient, keep our ears open, and just hear what God's talking to us about that. So again, we start by sharing the word intentionally, sharing how Jesus saved our life. We show the word by living for Christ and opening our life to others. And by teaching, not just letting the word stop with us, but letting it spread through us. And then we take this to all ends of the earth, making disciples of all nations. It's a very simple command, but very difficult to accomplish. We're going to face a lot of rejection. I know the first time someone shared the gospel with me, I wasn't observant to it. It didn't change my life immediately. It took a lot of people and a lot of different people and a lot of different times of people sharing the gospel with me. And it ultimately took Jesus coming into my life and intervening. But I will say that if it wasn't for those people who loved on me and shared with me, I wouldn't have come to Christ. I would have continued living my life as a non-believer. We never know what impact that we're going to have. You know, we can talk with someone and they could just curse us right in the face, tell us we're stupid. But later on, something might hit them and like, you know what? You know, that person did say that. That's starting to make sense now. But we don't know the little impacts that we can have. But if we're not doing anything, we'll never have any impact whatsoever. We must be obedient and intentional. If you look in your bulletins, you're going to find a little half sheet of paper, numbered 1 to 5. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of homework today. I want you to write down 5 names of people that you guys are in contact with that don't know Jesus. And I want you to go out and intentionally find ways to share the gospel with these people. You know, share with them what Christ means to you. Open up your heart and open up your life to these people. There's too much at stake for us to sit back and just be observers. This is more than just a call to pray for these people, but it's a call to action. We should be praying for them, but we should not stop there. You know, we need to go and be disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And this mission is not based on who we are or what we can do. This mission is based on Jesus, who Jesus is, and what He's able to do through our lives. So, you know, as I close, I want to pray that we are open to being obedient, to listening, and to not just letting this fall on you know, Sunday ears and take it through the week and intentionally share the gospel. Please pray with me. Father God, we thank You that You will always be with us, that we are never alone, Father God. We need a lot of help, a lot of guidance, and oftentimes we need to get out of our own ways. Father God, please open up our ears, eyes, hearts, our entire being. Allow Your word to hit us and to instantly be spread. Father God, there is still way too much of ourselves and not enough of You in our lives. Father God, please allow this to change. We ask that we have a newer, deepening love of You, Father God, and allow that love to penetrate in all of our being, Father God, and just show others what it's like and have them say, I want what they have. I want to be fully satisfied, not on things that I can buy, not on material items or money, but something that I cannot purchase. I can never obtain without Your love, Father God. We know that we are loved, and we ask that You put a new spot in our heart to share Your love with everybody else. We pray this in Your name. Amen.